Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Innovation Fuel. I am Dave Kiran.
And I am Dilara Farhadian. We are educators, entrepreneurs, and your hosts.
Innovation Fuel is our weekly business podcast brought to you by University Canada West. We are here to provide you with insights of fascinating stories from entrepreneurs, key industry professionals, and connect those back to the university to help students learn more critical thinking, more problem solving, and ideas as we go down the path of innovation.
If you want to learn more about the diverse business models, check out our episodes at www.ukinwest.ca/innovationfuel.
Hi, Galari. How are you?
I am fine, Dave. Dave, you know, do you remember Bruno Gervais that we had it?
How could I forget Bruno? Bruno's the wine guy.
Yeah, it's a wine guy. But I have many questions. It was a really interesting episode for me. I didn't finish my questions regarding about, okay, we have many, many limitations on the BC liquor. So how do they pricing? How do they marketing? A lot of things that I haven't asked yet.
Well, yeah, and I think the other thing, too, that we didn't really give Bruno an opportunity to tell us a little bit about what he does, in his business model. We got so wrapped up in this craziness. And if you haven't listened to the episode, guys, you got to go back and listen to it. This whole crazy market with the BC Liquor Board and the supply chain management piece, it is so interesting. And I think, and I understand where Galari wants to go with getting more answers to this question. But, I think what we need to do is get the show on the road. I think we need to reach out to our friend here and back to our friend who's joining us. Bruno is coming to us today for the second time for part two.
Yeah, exactly. So among us today is owner of Caudalys. Bruno is an experienced owner with a history of 15 years working in the wine and the spirit industry. He's skilled in marketing, management, budgeting, food, and beverage market planning and retail. Overall, Bruno is a strong business development professional who you can consult regarding your liquor stores or restaurants to increase your profit margin. Let's welcome our liquor industry expert, Bruno Gervais. Welcome, Bruno.
Welcome. Thank you for having me again.
Well, yeah, Bruno, great to have you back. Thank you for all that insight and information. We've got a whack of more questions, I'm sure, that are going to come at you today. But, let's start this off with learning a little bit more about Caudalys, your organization, your company, and tell us a little bit more about what you do.
So, yeah, in part one, I was explaining my start in retail, liquor stores industry in BC. After, 6 years, 7 years, I decided to go solo and quit my job and create my consulting firm to be able to help liquor stores and restaurants to better manage the murky water of BC liquor industry. Yeah, for example, if we start with the restaurants, it's for a lot of restaurant owner, it's tricky to know which wine to put on their wine list, which wine is going to sell the best, which wine is going to bring them the better margin. So I work with them on, depending, of course, of their strategy, to be able to find the product which are going to please their customers and which are going to get the good margin. And on the retail side, it's all about organization. Of course, product selection on the shelves, but also pricing, also organization of the liquor store and inventory management and everything which you can do in a store to have a better return on investment.
So that is exactly, because there is a lot of limitation, as you said, about the liquor in BC. Right. So how's possible to in this market you do the marketing and pricing?
But the pricing is not that tricky because we all buy all liquor store buy at the same price. So then it all depends what is your competition around. So if you have a BC liquor store really close by or convenient for the neighborhood. The customers, your customer, are going to choose if they go to the private store or to the public store. We might all have heard on the radio, for example, advertising of BC Liquor telling they are cheaper than private store. And they are cheaper because quite a few reasons. The main one being the BC Liquor store are the only one able to sell to restaurants. So they get huge volume right away, which private store don't have the right to sell to restaurants. So that volume is not for them, which means they often need to have their price a bit higher to be able to pay for everything they have to. And then it's about product selection, because it's easy to go on your phone and check the price on the BC Liquor Store website of the same wine next door in the other store. So if you want to be able to survive with your liquor store, it's to be able to get on your shelves product which are not in government store, which means customers won't be able to compare the price, which is still tricky because a lot of customers are buying wine following marketing, advertising, which means they are used to certain name of winery. And if they don't find those names, they are not going, okay, they don't have the wine I want, they won't shop at your place. So it's a huge balance between what you offer to the customer and the big brands. You are not going to be able to make good margin. So it's a balance between those two line of products. It's a balance about your staff, of course, which is going to be or not going to be able to push some wine, which you might have better margin on it. And when I'm talking wine, we can say the same about spirit and about beer.
Yeah, thank you, Bruno. What I'm looking at is the liquor distribution branch market review reports of 2019. I can see that the most selling wine is the BC wine, US wine, then Italy and France, which is surprised me because it seems that the France and Italy have a better wine. So it's how you can make sure the quality of the product in your store.
There's a few things. Is we have to understand a lot of wine drinkers in BC are drinking but sweet wines. Not that long time ago in BC, you had a lot of Zinfandel and wine which are quite sugary. A lot of people, their taste are used to pop, are used to sugary drinks, and when they go to dry wine, they don't like them. And France, especially France and some other country, of course, but are mainly producing extremely dry wine, which means it's more difficult. It's not as pleasing for a lot of people. And then, of course, the price is important too. On the cheap line of product, on the lower price product, France might not be the best country to go to. And it's for that reason we had not that long time ago in crazy on the market, because their product were extremely cheap. Australia, for the moment, has a huge, huge problem in the industry because they came the same 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago on the North American market, Canada, USA, with cheap, nice product, which were pleasing to everybody. And they are known to be cheap. Now they are trying to go up in the ladder of the quality and the price of the wines. And it's quite tricky for them, because they have the image to be cheap. And exactly the same, if we take another example with Chile, there's amazing wine in Chile, which can be, let's say, a bulk $100 bottle of wine. And look, who is going to buy $100 bottle of wine when, in our mind, a good wine at those kind of price is going to be Italy, it's going to be France, maybe California. And so image is quite important.
Yeah, I'm just saying, so, you know, like, and I'm looking at this in your business model and, you know, thinking about your business model and thinking about your retailer, you know, what value, Bruno, can you then connect? If you have all these challenges with the BC Liquor Store, and then you have to bring in these probably no-name brands that consumers are recognizing to these private stores, how do you create value for those customers?
it's pushing. So it's to get your customer to trust you, to trust your staff, to be able to say, hey, you are coming or you want that Shiraz, if we take that example from States, you might want or you should try that one. So it's really trying to push them, to sell them. It's what a retail store should do pretty much every time, to push them on the product, which is going to be something different, something which, of course, you are going to train your staff to be products which are not available in the BC stores, but in the BC liquor stores shelves. So the customer, if the customer likes it, he will come back. It's for that reason also you see a lot of tastings going on in liquor stores. It's to get those products to the customer. So not right now with COVID, but on a regular time. And the same, it's something which I not took in on because most of the time, the winery or the agent bringing the wine in BC, they are going to push or they are going to have marketing money for big brands. And the small winery from Portugal is not going to allow you to spend thousands of dollars in tastings in liquor stores. And often for wine connoisseurs, those small winery might be the more interesting ones.
Wait. So it means that if you want to bring a new taste to the market, even if the supplier is a government, you cannot taste it in your retail or restaurant?
No, you can taste it, but often when you go in a liquor store or in a, and you have someone pouring the wine, someone is paying for it. He's paying for the staff pouring and he's paying for the bottle which are going to be tasted. And who is paying is the winery or and the agent which is representing the wine. So what I'm saying is small producer, wine producer, beer producer, spirit producer, they don't have the marketing money to be able to put those actions in place. When you have neck tags on the bottle to win something or because there's so many things to win or something, the same. We are talking most of the time of big brands which have marketing budget and the smaller winery, brewery, distillers, they don't have that. And for them, one of the way to be known is all those competition around the world. It's funny how you see now there are so many wines with gold medals or something because it's a way to hope. Sometimes you are going to have a bottle of wine with a gold medal at that competition. And when you look at that competition, there were only one wine in that category. So it's not that tricky to get a gold medal. But it's a cheaper way for the winery, for the brewery to get noticed on the shelves. When you were asking at the start of the first episode, Gallery, when you go in a liquor store, how do you choose wine? The question is for everybody. Why you have those funky labels on wines with animals everywhere right now and colors? It's because when you get in a category of wine on the shelves, you are going to have, I don't know, 50, 60, 200 wines, which one to pick? Where is your eyes going to go? And in every retail, the thing about the placing on the shelf at the bottom, at the top, blah, 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 that's extremely important too. And the cut case at the end of the aisle and all of that is about pushing product.
Yeah. And so there's a story here too, Bruno, because I think the wine business actually was the first towards influencing marketing. Because when we think about all those critics that are out there writing on wines, they were the first ones to bring some of that influencing piece. But it, like when you're trying to dissect what to buy in the store on these point ratings and tastings and all these things.
Yeah, but it's exactly that. And if one day you can Google or something about the story of Wolf Blass in Australia, it's really interesting, his marketing approach. He introduced the color with the black label, yellow label and everything. And it's related to horse racing. And it's really interesting the way, how he thought of that to start his business. But yes, it's all about marketing. And to come back to Gallery question, France, surprising France number 4 in BC, is because French label are quite difficult to understand for a lot of people. We are on a market where everybody is buying per grapes And in most, not everywhere, but most of the wine appellation, the wine area in France, they are not allowed to put the grapes on the front label. And most of the time, it's not even one or two grapes, it's going to be three, four, five. But if we take one example in France, Burgundy, it's going to be Pinot Noir with some exception in Gamay. And it's straight Pinot Noir or straight Gamay. It's not showing anywhere on the front label because they are not allowed. And coming from France, which is quite funny because I'm born in Bordeaux, raised, studied in Bordeaux, never heard about the five grapes they are allowed to use to make wine in Bordeaux. I discovered the grapes which are in Bordeaux wine when I moved to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Before that, you are going, depending on your dinner, what you are going to eat, your mood, the weather, oh, I would like a Bordeaux, I would like a Burgundy, I would like... But you have the reference to the area, maybe the appellation, absolutely not about the grape.
So Bruno, so your job on both sides of your consulting business is that, okay, you're trying to help them, their retailer, find ways to create that trust with their customers by maybe helping around supporting some education, some marketing planning, some things around that to help move those products out. And on the restaurant side of things, are you helping them develop their wine lists?
Yeah, developing their wine list, because exactly the same. I suspect I'm not the only one. When I go in a restaurant and I see a wine list and some prices where I know the bottle is time three, I'm not always that happy, sometimes more than that. So it's all about creating wine which are not going to be too abscond. People are going to understand what it is or be appealed to order. And at the same time, we need to find ways to have for them to have not too many reference, so they don't feel to be ripped off. And of course, what are we going also offer by the glass? Because you can make quite nice margin on the by the glass program.
Yes, so it is really depends on the psychographic segmentation as well. So when we talk about how busy people choose wine based on what and what kind of information is really related to them. So as you're saying that the information that it's on the label of the French wine is not appealing to our busy. Drinkers, right?
Yeah, but because to understand, but it's a bit the same with Italy, for example, an old world country, a wine country. Most of the time, you need to have some knowledge, and I'm not saying going to courses, and you don't need to be a sommelier, but when you see on the wine list in a restaurant or on the shelf the name of the appellation, sometimes, even as French, there's some appellation, okay, what it is, where is it? I have no idea because there are thousands of them. So you need a certain level of knowledge to be able to understand what you are going to buy, so what you are choosing. And of course, that is tricky. So, and I'm not talking about the big Bordeaux, which is totally different market.
Yes, that is absolutely right. So what else you're offering? So you're offering different products and how to do the marketing for that one. What else you're offering to your clients, restaurants, for example?
All about the organization, because then depending of the restaurant, they are going to have some age or not age wine and all of that. So it's all about inventory management and sometimes staff training, because who is going to be able to push some of the wine is, so if they have a sommelier in the staff, they don't need me, but a lot of restaurants don't have sommelier in, so, and the staff often don't know much about the wine, so it's about educating the staff so they are going to be able to help the customer to choose the wine they want, which is quite important.
Well, I think the other thing too, Bruno, and then as Gloria said there too, is understanding the type of clientele that's going into that restaurant, because, you know, you could put some great French wines or Italian wines in there, but maybe the rustic and the less of the sweetness doesn't apply to them. So how you have to understand the two sides of this coin.
Which is tricky because sometimes I have to put on, if I have to recommend or to put on the wine list some wines which personally I won't choose or I won't even drink. But yes, it's all about who is coming, who are the guests in the restaurant, what they are used to drink. And which is interesting is over the time, you can move the selection. So you can't move the taste of the customers. But sometimes some restaurant might be with their regulars known for a crappy wine list, so they might even not drink wine. And when you start offering some, I'm not talking about fancy wines, but some good wines, but you have to let them know the wine list changed, so tasting and everything. And then you are able to change the habits and, of course, the sales of the restaurant. Because finally, you are having an offering on the wine side, the beer side, which is going to be appealing to the customers of that restaurant.
But also, wine also can help change the dimensions of the meal too, can't it?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. It's extremely important because wine, it's part of it. It's going to be about the image and customers which are going to drink wine during a meal most of the time are going to stay longer in the restaurant. Longer means more drinks and not only alcohol drinks. And often there's going to be some coffee or some tea after and everything. And it's all adding up at the end to the bill of the customer, but to the wallet of the restaurant, which is quite important.
Absolutely. Again, I want to have these questions about your own clients, restaurants or retails. So the menu will be changed based on the location the restaurant is. Is it can affect the location, can affect the menu of the wine?
Yeah, but the location, the food, the positioning of the restaurant, of course, on its market, we need to find what are going to be the best offering to be able to get the most sales of it. The more the inventory is going to turn, the more they are going to sell per bottle or per glass. It is totally the goal to generate revenue. And sometimes you are going to put a wine on the list and nothing is happening. Nothing is happening because it's unknown, because staff is not going to push it. So then you are going to correct a few things. And if you get some customer to taste it, you try to get some feedback too. And it's also important to match with the food. The level of the quality of the food, but also the taste of the food. And what, by experience, sometimes is working quite well, is to do some suggestions with some of the dishes which wine will, we think, best match, which brings me to the idea also it is important to have a nice by-the-glass offering. And by-the-glass is extremely tricky because most of the restaurants are going to offer lower-end wine by-the-glass because you open a bottle because customer order a glass of something. You need to be sure that something is going to be reordered enough, fast enough, to get the bottle emptied. Sometimes in the day, sometime in the next 2 days, some of the wine are going to be fine for 2, 3, 4 days. And most of the time, the lower you go in category, the more the wine are going to be stabilized with some chemical, which means it's good for the restaurant because it's going to be fine open for a week. But that's most of the time not a good thing about the quality of the wine. So again, it's a balance between what you are offering, knowing you are going to make money on that bottle of wine and not lose money only if you sell three glass, for example, depending on the size, blah, blah, blah. Otherwise, it's going to be in the sink and you are losing money.
No, or maybe your staff will go drunk, huh?
Yeah. Or you go in the kitchen for cooking, but.
So Bruno, like, you know, it seems like a very, you know, it's a very complicated process. It seems like you really have to build a relationship with this this clients in your restaurant and even a retail. But now, how do you find these clients? How do they get to know you and your business and how you can support them?
Word of mouth, because it's almost impossible to find. There's too many of them. You can do any mailer or everything you want. It's most of the time never going to get you a customer. It's all about restaurant which was successful with me helping them. They are going to talk to a buddy of them, and it's totally the way it works. And since a few years now, I have added a line to my business too. I am selling some equipment to serve wine by the glass because I firmly believe it's an excellent way to first to be able to do some tasters, to push some new wine on the list to the customers. Second of all, to get wine to last longer once they are open, to be sure they are going to be exactly perfect condition for quite some time. And it's quite successful in some, and not enough restaurants are doing it, but to be able to offer flight of wines. And when you suggest wine per dish, for example, most of the time, then you are going to pour small glass of wine, which means you need to have quite some recurring glass. Otherwise, you are going to lose some wine. So that business to sell some equipment, it's also a good way to open the door to some restaurants.
And so do you directly sell this equipment or do you kind of lease it to them?
No, I directly sell them to them. Some of them are leasing, but then they have, yeah, we can recommend a few leasing companies which we are working with, but we sell to them.
Now, I just want to know that, do you work as an agent for a specific brand as well or no?
No, not at all.
No.
No, because no, I don't work for any agent and I absolutely don't want to work for any agent because that means then you are pushing some line of wine. And I want to have the ability to choose all the wines and beers which are on the market.
So, but do you work with agents, right? You choose agents for client.
No, the agent in BC, an alcohol product coming in BC needs to have a representative locally, so in BC, which is what we call the agent, which means the winery or brewery. Some local brewery winery are going to be their own agent. Most of the time, they are going to go through an agent marketing company to push their product, like all the imports. So the agent is bringing the wine or bringing the beer or the spirit to BC. And then that agent is going to be the interface between the restaurant, the liquor store, the warehouse, and the producer. It's those agents you see in liquor store doing the tastings, for example. It's those agents which are representing, if we keep the example of the wine, if there's a new wine coming in, that agent decided to bring a new wine to BC, and not always, but they are going to go around liquor stores, restaurants, to get the buyer to taste that wine, to get the wine on the shelf, or to get the wine on the wine list.
Yeah, I have a final question. It is that, so if your imported wine, you have imported wine, you don't have agent, right? You don't have any representative to help you.
No, imported wine have an agent too.
Oh, they haven't?
Yeah. Every product pretty much has an agent. What I was saying is some BC winery, BC brewery decide to represent, to be their own agent, which is the case. But it's even more tricky than that because some of them have, we were talking with Dave earlier about Marc Anthony, and Marc Anthony is the brand, if we can say, the marketing agent of a few wineries in BC, and especially about Mission Hill. But Marc Anthony is also representing other winery, brewery, soft drinks, but there's quite a few things in BC and more than BC.
So Bruno, you know, your business revolves around the restaurants. I got the retailers and this telling. COVID-19's happened. How has your business transformed after this situation? How have you transformed your business?
I'm waiting for COVID to finish. On the retail side, it's quite good because retail are doing good. On the restaurant side, I won't say it's dead, but it's dormant for the moment. No restaurants are doing any investment right now. No restaurant has the financial capacity to get some help from outside. They are trying to survive right now. So that side is extremely tricky. And if we go further in the logic of business, I had the opportunity a few times, and which might have helped, to get a proper office, to get a proper door with the name of the company and everything on it, maybe staff even. I did quite some business in Alberta, and it might have helped at that time to have someone working with me. And I always decided to stay alone, totally alone, to work from home. I travel quite a lot, but to work from home, which means my expenses are reduced to the minimum, which means in those COVID time, I can go through with not much problem.
Yeah, good. Good. Well, so Bruno, again, we always like to give the last word to our guests. Is there any bits of information or things that we've missed or we didn't ask you that you'd like to share with our audience?
We went through quite a lot of things. If we want to go back in the supply chain, we can go forever on the subject. It's not specific to me, but I'm really hoping one day BC will be able to get out of all those tricky pile of legislation, which seems to go on the right path, but never taking down all older stuff, which are totally absurd in those time now. And liquor industry is not the only one in BC, which is like that. There's huge in the news all the time right now about auto insurance. This is the same kind of things. We are in a liberal country, in a liberal province, but there's a couple industry which are absolutely not liberal.
Yeah,
Bruno, thank you very much for joining us today again.
You're welcome.
To all entrepreneurs out there, our ambitious students at UCW here, University Canada West, are waiting for some opportunities to help you out with your business. If you're struggling during these times and you need some help, we've got some great minds. You can connect with them through our capstone projects, to our virtual internship program. We're here to help. They want to share some of their knowledge with you to help your business. If you have a great story, if you have something great to share that you think our students can benefit in our courses, in our cases, or to our audience, come reach out to us. We want to hear from you. Reach out to us at www.ucanwest.ca/innovationfuel.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Bruno. We have reached the end of another fascinating episode of Innovation Fuel Podcast. Join us next week for our surprising guest. Thank you for listening and have a great week.